Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 245. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me on the sunny beaches of Saudi Arabia is Dr. Jonathan Fast. John, how are the beaches today?
They're sunny. You were accurate.
Those are the waves, right?
Those are the waves. Oh no, it's a monsoon. Ah, so much water and rain here.
Hey, that's not funny, man. Monsoons kill.
Monsoons kill. No, more like, not really. That's like the tsunamis kill.
Cool. We actually have
monsoons keep getting short.
We have like a ton of topics and stuff to go through today. And huge props to everyone on Facebook and Twitter, the mailbag, who I think John's dog's barking.
Yeah, she's barking. She's about to get a timeout.
That's all right. You guys have newspapers over there, right?
We do.
You can just use your iPad. Just hit it. Like, that's the new thing. Instead of rolling up the newspaper, you just hit your dog with the iPad in the nose.
That's horrible.
So, again, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. But leading off from the off-topic stuff, the first thing that we're going to talk about is some single-legged training stuff because it came up on John's Trader podcast. And the before we get into that, if you are listening to this and you just kind of like jump back into the show, don't forget to listen to the awesome interview with Dan John last week. It is always a legitimate pleasure to talk to him, and he's one of those guys where I would gladly just say like, all right, just call in every other week and let's just talk about stuff. And he can talk. He's always got great stuff, and he's got so much wisdom and knowledge and coaching experience and skills that it always leads to me writing down pages and pages of notes and, you know, kind of looking back on them a couple days later, seeing how I can implement some of that stuff into my life and my coaching and things like that. So, again, go back to 244. Check it out. It's one of the best interviews we've ever had on the show. John, did you get a chance to listen to that yet?
No.
Oh, really? Huh. Yep. Kind of like how I didn't listen to your podcast.
Yeah, because my podcast has been out for like mad weeks, son.
Yeah. How's the... I was thinking about just throwing the numbers from my downloads against yours to see how they look, but it wouldn't be
fair. They'll be about 10 times.
Wouldn't be fair, yeah. Other thing, I've cataloged every single shirt that I have, and we sold a bunch of them. We sold about a dozen of them the last couple days, but I still do have some shirts left. Go to thefitcast.com and scroll down about halfway down the page. I made a post about it so you can see what we have left and what the shirts look like in terms of like the logo design. And I'm going to be mailing those out tomorrow morning for the people that already bought them. They're all packaged up and ready to go. So if you are interested in getting them, they're super cheap. It's $15 for one shipped inside the United States. A little bit more if you're going outside of the United States. So let me know. If you'd like one, you can. There's a little form, on the website that you can just hit up to let me know that you want one, and we'll go from there. So check that out. So let's just shotgun this, John. Let's just keep going.
Freestyle,
no breaks, because I know you're not feeling good, and I got to clean that apartment tonight. So,
word.
The first thing I want to have you bring up is what you and Mr. Contreras concluded about single-legged training, because you guys came to a conclusion, right?
Well, kind of, but kind of not. It's not so much about conclusions.
What was the premise of – what was your thesis statement?
Thesis statement – well, the thesis statement is
the question that you proposed.
Right. The question is unilateral training as effective as bilateral training? But then we broke it down to really more about like, are we talking athletics? Are we talking? And really, that's what the show does. We take very common statements or statements made. You know, like the next episode is going to be on the icing thing, and we covered that a little bit here. And I went on a rant, but we're going to actually pull apart the research and look into exactly what you know would give someone the right or not give them the right to make a statement like we should all stop icing or we should all drop our double leg, you know, squatting, you know. So
can we back that's kind of what the show's about. 2 seconds. And this is just like, remember we kind of like you talked a little bit about how you're going to be doing this. And I thought, you know, just having in my background of being an expert at podcasting,
right.
And, you know, being a journalist and such. I worked at Game Trailers as an intern for their video game stuff. So kind of an expert. And the thing that I wanted to ask you,
yes,
and you don't have to do this, but if you were to do this podcast and have it to be like super good, like I'm sure it's pretty good, but if you want it to be super good,
right,
you know, say, hey, you know, Kelly Start, you want to come on the show where we talk about icing? Or hey, Mike Boyle, do you want to come on the show where we talk about unilateral training?
Yeah, we've talked about that, Brett and I, and right now that we want to do that. We want to have guests on, but we don't – it's not so much a – like we don't want to challenge – we're not looking – the idea is not to challenge someone. It's not like –
yeah, because it could be a hostile environment kind of thing.
Right. It's more about like just looking at critical thinking and how someone – so Mike makes the statement, okay, everyone should stop back squatting. You should do rear foot elevated split squats.
Yeah.
So we basically go through the process of what – you know, what you do when you come across a statement like that and you think, maybe I'll do that. It's not good enough that Mike Boyle says it, no matter what his clout is, no matter what his experience is. If you were to do that and he was wrong, then you're risking something. You're risking something in your training effect. You're risking something with potentially the effect of your athletes or their injury prevention or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Mm. So that's basically what we're doing. It's not so much about like, okay, we're going to bring you on. So why did you say this and whatever? We do plan on having guests, but the idea is more of breaking down the critical thinking thought process, how, you know, examples of how Brett and I go through that process when we come to a question and we need to make a decision for our training programs or for patients or whatever it is. So our answers aren't definitive. They're not like, oh, we said this and therefore that's what you should think. It's more of like, we're trying to show you the example of this is what we've found. This is how we analyze and critique the research that we found. And this is how we apply it to this question. And in fact, this first episode, he and I were a little bit different. I went one way. He went a little bit the other way. We were, you know, within shooting distance of each other. I don't think we disagreed. But I think that there was, without blowing the ending of it, go and just listen, strengthofevidence.com. But we kind of differed a little bit on how far we would take that concept. And that's perfectly fine because that's what the critical thinking process and analyzing evidence is. And then once we we go through that, then we invite the audience, look at these studies yourself, try to find studies, maybe there's studies that we either didn't think were important or entirely didn't see, and make your own decisions, but do it in a way kind of like how we're doing, because we're trying to be very systematic and trying to demonstrate that these are complicated questions.
So what conclusions did you guys come to in terms of that discussion on single leg training versus bilateral stuff?
Yeah, I think that and it's really it's more about, you know, it's not just the answer, but I thought
I should preface this because this becomes like a huge discussion on the internet in terms of I'm right and you're wrong. No, I'm right and you're wrong. Because anecdotal evidence or, you know, in the trenches evidence versus in the lab.
Right. And really what that means, and it's the kind of stuff like, you know, that we all do on this show too. It's this sort of thing where we say, like, look, you can make a statement, but you can't say it's fact unless you know that it is a fact. You can't base it on observation or clinic or, you know, experience in the clinic or the trenches or whatever you call it.
Just to play devil's advocate here. So if I said, you know, if I drop this ball, I know it's going to bounce on the ground. And you said, well, you can't say that because you don't have evidence to back it up. But if I say, all right, well, I'm going to drop this ball, I saw it bounce. So I know that it's going to do that when I drop the ball. Bad analogy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bad analogy. That's a tough analogy. It's more like this. It's like saying that You know, I use a certain training program and all my guys get, you know, stronger than anyone. You know, after I started using this training program, everyone is stronger. So my training program is clearly better than anyone else's. You can't
super say, simple, but I think to be honest, I will listen to it tomorrow on the way to work because, you know, I will be perfectly honest. When I first saw, you know, Mike Boyle make that talk when it was Functional Strength Coach 3, I think it was like four years ago now, three years ago. And I think at that time I was either still working at Boston Sports Club or I was working at a Cressy's. And now I was coming from the background of, you know, being at Cressy's or, you know, doing squatting and thinking it was the cat's pajamas. And I thought that, oh, well, you know, it's just, you know, a certain population that he's dealing with, that it's specifically because he trains hockey players, or, you know, maybe it's for, you know, whatever, in terms to like drum up some controversy or discussion. And, you know, from, again, not necessarily basing it off of research, but, and, you know, basing it off of working with athletes and clients and wide ranges of populations, I would not necessarily say there are not benefits to bilateral squatting. I don't think that's the argument that he ever made. He said to not back squat because there's too much risk in terms of low back pain and injuries, and you can get very strong, not necessarily stronger, but he did, you know, talk about the bilateral deficit thing, but saying that, you know, in some cases you might even be able to get stronger when you are using two dumbbells versus a bar on your back when it comes to loading. And that's when the whole, like, again, internet fighting came in, when it talked about people pushing off their back foot for real foot elevated split squats and all that crap. And, you know, again, a lot of this stuff came from people who knew what they were talking about on one side, when it was like the powerlifting crowd, and the other side of people who are just, you know, whoever, who don't coach people, who aren't training people, and they're just saying this crap because they are very afraid that, oh my God, someone's saying not to back squat, but I love to back squat. I'm right because I like to do this.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of like, I'll give you an idea of what we went through. I won't necessarily say what we concluded or didn't conclude, because, you know, I it is part of the process. Like, I don't want to just like, oh, we decided this, because you have to understand why we said that. But that was nice. What was that? It was like Finding Zelda. Kev.
So, because I turned on my Capcom keychain.
Ah, that's what that was. Yeah. Okay.
My fault. Sorry.
Anyway, that's all right.
I guess the batteries still work, because that's something I would have to do tomorrow to pick up. Mm-hmm. It's important. I can't let that thing not have batteries still working it.
So the questions that we went through, and you have to listen to find that, you know, the discussion is what it is, but the questions of a simple, you know, the simple, should we not squat, or is single leg squatting as effective or better than back squatting? And we broke it down, and I'm sure you could break it down in more questions, but we had, how does form break down in a squat? What's the limiting transducer? How does form break down in the rear foot elevated split squat? What's the limiting transducer? Which is therefore more inherently dangerous? Is there a bilateral deficit in the squat pattern? What exercise places more loading on the joints and muscles? Which exercises lead to greater performance effects? What is Mike's take on what factors, what's Mike's take and what factors influence his opinions? Does this then apply to all trainers or coaches or lifters?
So you did kind of focus on Mike a little bit.
Well, because he made that, he popularized that statement. If it's more of a generic thing, then we wouldn't. But because he popularized that, we were taking his point from that. And not, and again, not like the way that we do it. It's very, it's exactly the way that we did it when we were talking about the FMS.
Sure, like, you were looking like, at all sides. You weren't trying to be unbiased as best as possible.
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough.
And then, you know, so is there anything that could be done to circumvent Mike's issues with the squat, and then what future research do we need to help settle the discussion, and then what's our ultimate conclusion? So we had, you know, what is that, like 10 questions just based on that single statement.
Was this like a 3-hour podcast?
No, it was like an hour.
Okay.
and a half.
I just downloaded it, so it's on my iPhone ready to go.
So that's really what each episode is like. We break down whatever this topic of the episode is, and we break it down to all these relevant things that people may not even realize are part of this question, this statement when it's made. You know, so when Kelly Starlet says, "Don't use ice," you know, tune in for episode 3, and we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about what that means when you say "don't use ice anymore." What does that mean? What are the benefits? What are the drawbacks? What is this? What is that? What is it? You know, it's a huge statement. And when you break it down into the constituents and what might happen if you go this way, what might happen if you go that way, it's a big deal.
I'm not saying, I think everyone should check out the podcast because it's an interesting discussion for you to have, some place like a jump off point in terms of the discussion for if you guys ever have it with your colleagues down the road. But if you don't mind spoiling, like what was the conclusion or what did you guys come as your decision? Because it couldn't be,
I'll give my point of view. I mean, there is some literature, and there's some interesting differences between the two. It's not apples to apples. You can't just say I'm going to replace the back squat with a rear foot elevated split squat because they do different things. But having said that, I was actually very surprised to find the indications for training effect for rear foot elevated split squats, and in fact that they may be a little bit better for cutting and agility sports than a back squat would be. So if you're looking for a training effect for an athlete, there's some limited evidence that the rear foot elevated is a better option for you if you were going to choose one versus the other. But at the same time, there's nothing that's really indicating that Mike's initial concern about the back and this and that, there's nothing that indicates that. There's actually reasons to suggest that bilateral deficit is not because of some limiting issue with the back at all. So we found some interesting things. I think that in general, I would say that we agreed with Mike on certain things and we disagreed on certain things, or, we found that the research had a slightly different take than what Mike had put forward. So it was just very interesting to find out. But I for one, came in there, and we always have a statement of bias before we start because it's important to understand where you're coming from before you ever do any reading to begin with. Like you were saying before, when you heard this at first, you were all about squats. So when you hear it, you're going, oh, I don't know about that. And that's an initial bias. There's nothing wrong with it, but you should know that you have it because it's going to influence the way that you critique anything that supports or doesn't support the statement. So my initial bias, I said I wasn't really like one way or the other, but I certainly enjoy squatting and I've programmed squatting. So I was actually a little pleasantly surprised that there was some evidence there that was suggesting that you could use a rear foot elevated split squat to very nice effect. But ultimate answer is there's not a lot of research. So it's enough in my opinion that if you wanted to pursue it, you could cautiously do so, and probably not impact a positive training effect. But there's still far more work to be done to really be able to say for fact, we can drop a squat or we can get as much strength benefit and things like this.
John, you're smarter than me. I will admit that before I get into this. Mike Boyle's way more experienced than I am. And, Brett Contreras has done tons of research. And with all that stuff being said, I think the problem still runs into a couple things. I don't think that you can downplay the benefits of trying to eliminate or reduce the asymmetries that we see in terms of an athletic base from the left and the right side when it comes to squatting or lunging patterns, and the benefits that doing more unilateral work can have on kind of eliminating or balancing out those asymmetries. And when it comes to back squatting, that's obviously something that is we're not going to see a lot of benefit of, because you're still going to see you know, people with hip alignment issues, where you're going to see them kind of like you saw it in my videos, John, when you saw me squat, where I kind of like will squat a little bit more towards one side than another. And not to say that we need to be completely balanced on both sides, but I think that's something when you're having not just like, you know, me that, you know, the most athletic thing that I do is like yesterday I did shuttle runs. Like that's the most athletic thing that I do right now is shuttle runs and demonstrating plyometric and agility stuff for my athletes. You know, when it comes to high school athletes, college athletes, professional athletes that they cannot get hurt. Our biggest thing is to obviously do no harm. That's rule number one, and I think you'll agree with that. When it comes to going more towards the unilateral side of things in terms of squatting, you know, we give ourselves a much better chance of not doing harm than with going with back squats. I cannot mention there's probably one athlete that I've ever seen in the 3 years that I've been coaching at Boyles that has had, you know, run into being hurt from doing a single-legged, like a rear-foot elevated split squat, where they already had pre-existing conditions where they just simply had quad tightness and their knees started bothering them. Like, it was simple enough as to just have them roll their quads, stretch their quads, come back in 2 days, and then they were good to go completely. So I think that's one thing that is worth mentioning. The problem with this discussion is it's not black and white. It's a very
well. It's not black and white, but that's not really what we're going at. The idea is there justification to make any of this statement? So just
saying that you should not back. One more thing. In terms of you, just because I wrote down a note while you were talking. Yeah. In terms of limitations of the back squat. Come on, mm-hmm. Like the limitations for people to back squat is that there's obviously going to be compression on their spine, whether you want to say that it's a lot or not, based on what weight they're using, that's fine, but you're still going to be having plenty of people that are going to perform back squats incorrectly. There's going to be terrible coaches out there that are still going to have, look at collegiate strength and conditioning. Like, I cannot tell you how many videos of collegiate strength and conditioning programs. Throw it up on YouTube. Go and look at insert college name, strength and conditioning program. Watch their athletes squat and be amazed and just be thankful that those athletes are so damn gifted that they do not get hurt because of how terrible their squatting is. Like, a lot of times it's quarter squats, half squats, you know, straight up just full up round that ass, that back squat. And again, that's one of those things that in a perfect world, if back squats were coached perfectly, they were done perfectly, we would probably not run into too many problems. If you're right. 98% of all the trainers and the coaches out there that don't know how to coach it correctly, then we run into a problem. You got to understand this, like,
but you can't make the assumption that the back squat will be coached poorly, but the rear foot elevated split squat will be coached perfectly. You can't make the assumption.
I understand that, but no, it's a higher risk movement based on what you're doing. You're going to be less likely.
But how do you know that?
Because I've seen it, John. I coached tons of athletes, I've seen plenty of athletes do the RFEs in a different setting than Boyles.
Right. So for how many years have you been coaching, and how many athletes overall do you think have been using a rear foot elevated split squat with low rep, high weight, high force training? It's not typical. So we can't say how many people are actually injured in back squats. Do you know that number? Do you know what number of people are injured in rear foot? Because we can make the argument, if you're saying that it's bad for the spine and you don't know the answer to that, you're assuming, but you don't know. I can also make the statement that a rear foot elevated split squat is a higher risk to your SI joint dysfunction. It's a higher risk to the hip musculature. It's a higher risk. I mean, you can make any of these statements and it doesn't make it fact.
Yeah, but that's where anecdotal evidence does have to come into this, because there's almost so much stuff that you can do in a laboratory. You have to actually listen to the people that are doing the coaching.
But that's imperfect. You can't decide that it's fact.
I know, but I'm not totally. Okay, I totally agree. I'm not fighting with you.
That's why Right, but that's the point of that podcast. It's not to say that we have decided that this is correct or incorrect. It is only to say that if we're looking and evaluating the statement, and these are the questions that come out of it, and this is what we think of those questions. But that's based on – we certainly brought in anecdotal evidence because there's not enough evidence to give us one thing or another. We don't have the randomized controlled trial of 150 athletes doing back squats for 5 years and 150 athletes doing rear-foot elevated split squats for 5 years and seeing all the things that come into play. It doesn't exist. So if it doesn't exist and you don't have a factual answer
– I think there is a certain subset.
But you can't base your concept on pure opinion unless the only thing that exists is pure opinion. But if there's more than just pure opinion, you cannot base it solely on that, because if you overlook the evidence, then you are deciding that something that is less efficient is going to be superior than something that is more efficient. You bring in the opinion because it has to round out the edges for something that we don't have a lot of evidence for, but you can't decide that the stuff in that they evaluated based on numbers and math is less accurate than someone's biased opinion because they coach this way. Yeah. That's not evidence-based. Then that's just do whatever you want.
Okay, but again, I'm trying to put my thoughts into a correct manner where we can have a good enough discussion. By the way, that guy was also on Hawaii Five-0 for a couple episodes. I hope you can understand it. I hope the audience can kind of understand where I'm coming from with this in terms of. Again, I think it's worth taking into account that Mike was a power lifter growing up. He back squatted a lot. He has personal experience back squatting. He has experience coaching athletes in the back squat, quite a bit. And again, the reduction in injuries that he's seen in terms of, like, obviously you're eliminating the whole problem of the low back. In terms of not having to load on the back with the back squat versus the rear foot elevated split squat, I think you cannot discount that. In terms,
it's not discounting, but it's saying that it's not fact until it's assessed and evaluated. If there was no, and there is no research, there's no research that looks at injury rates of back squats versus injury rates of rear foot elevated split squats. It doesn't exist. So that you can take that.
Do you know if there's a higher rate of low back pain versus, say, like garbage term of groin pulls in strength and conditioning?
Over 80% of the country has back pain.
I know. It's the fifth leading cause for people to go to the doctors. I got some statistics, John. Don't you worry.
Yeah, but it's not because of back squats. Back squats, if you have back pain and you make your back core and legs and hips stronger, then you will reduce your incidence of back pain. And a back squat could be absolutely validated for that purpose. It's not as simple as just saying, absolutely, absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. If I strengthen the system, I will reduce my incidence of back pain. It's one of the few things that we have any evidence for. And in fact, even strength training has very low evidence.
I'm not disagreeing with that. That's not what I'm not talking about, like, actually, doing core work to try to benefit or to try to reduce low back pain. That's not what I'm talking about. Getting people in a proper alignment and having them do some planks is all well and good. That helps our, you know, population that is every adult that we see that comes in with low back pain. You know, same thing with a lot of athletes. But again, the big thing that I'm trying to get across, and I know we're kind of almost arguing things at this point.
That, but it's not a fact.
I understand that, but that's what we have to go on, John. You can't just coach people based on fact.
But you can, because someone else could come in and make an opposite argument and say that the back squat is superior to rear foot elevated.
You know what? I can show you that it works, because look at, I have, you know, at Boyles, we have 300 athletes that come into the summer, get stronger,
right.
And so, they don't get hurt doing RFEs. That was not the case when people were doing back squats.
How many years did you do back squats, and how many years have you done rear foot elevated split squats? What percent of maximum Where in maximum capacity were they working with the back squat? What percent of maximum capacity are they working with the rear foot elevated split squat to their genetic capacity? What is the age group of your people? What is the sports that they play? What is the male to female ratios? Do you have people with SI joint dysfunction? Do you have people with hip dysplasia? Do you have people – so many different variables. You are coaching a specific small subset.
Okay, well, you're making my point.
You're a specific small subset.
You're making my point.
You can't apply that specific small subset to a general population.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right, and that's why we try to cover all the bases. When we – at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, for our athletes, everyone does the same program. So we cover all the bases in terms of making sure that – everyone's going to be able to do everything that we do more or less pain-free, and they're not put into a position where it's so hard to learn the exercise where we have to spend 9 weeks for them just to be proficient enough so we can start loading something.
Right. So basically what you're telling me is you have a system that evaluates whether or not someone can do a rear foot elevated split squat or not. So
no,
you've
we
just
have
invalidated.
Regressions.
Right. So you've just invalidated your statement, because if you build someone to a rear foot elevated split squat, you could build someone to just about anything. The statement of a back squat is inherently more dangerous than a rear foot elevated split squat is not – there's no evidence for that. You could argue it. That's what we're doing. But you can't say it's a fact. You can't say a fact until you have the statistics and the research to show that it is true. You may have that feeling. You can say – make an argument. I can make an argument either way. We did it on the show.
I'm trying to – we're having a conversation and it's fun. At the end of the day, John, like I said, you're smarter than me. You've looked at way more research than me. But all I'll say is from what I've seen in terms of what I've done the last 3 years and becoming a believer and becoming convinced of the benefits of unilateral training over bilateral training. And we still trap our deadlift. We still trap our deadlift every single week. You know, people can do it, you know, correctly. Otherwise, we have them goblet squat. But we have people trap bar deadlifting, so we do some bilateral work that's loaded. So, I just want to get it out there that there is still. I just don't want to have it be shot down that there are not benefits to doing unilateral training.
You don't know until you see what those benefits are.
If I see an alien standing in front of me, can I say it's an alien? Or do I have to do some tests? Do I have to make sure that blood is green? Does he have to be a Romulan?
There's a difference between proving that I'm not an elephant and saying that
you're an elephant.
Everything named Jonathan is not an elephant.
You're full of shit, John.
There's a difference between saying, well, I saw this in the gym, so it must be true. Descartes said that
that's
was wrong.
Bullshit, John. You can't.
Ago.
Okay, hold on. You can't. That's not the comment that I made. I saw it in the gym, so it's true. That's not what.
But
I'm
that's
saying.
What you're saying. We have all these athletes, and this is what I saw the injury rates go down
that's
myself.
A pretty
really?
Big
did everyone? Did you check everyone's nutrition? Did you check everyone's sleep patterns? Did you check everyone's game time and playing time and all the other things that go into what could affect someone's injury rates? Because if you didn't, then you don't know what may have contributed to their lower injury rates that you believe that you saw. Did you keep counts? Did you look at what – did you change your form? Did the coaches change at Boyle's, or were the same coaches coaching both exercises? Because if all of those things weren't kept the same, then you've introduced variables that could potentially conflict your evidence.
Am I crazy, everyone who's listening to this? Am I just not able to get my point in?
Because you're saying that this is true.
I'm not saying – I'm saying from what I've seen, it is something that I will continue to do because I believe in it.
That's fine. I'm not telling you not to. I never said not to. You're telling me that this is true.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
This something. So, man, are we going to do like just 45 minutes talking about this?
It's great. There's like free advertising for our show. People all go download now and see what the hell
You know what? Don't download it. Unsubscribe. Put up a negative review on iTunes. All one stars, and have your friends do it too when you get into work tomorrow. I think, you know what? Let's just end this because we're just going to keep going in circles. Because I'm going to keep saying, you know what, John? Guess what? I've seen hundreds of athletes be very proficient and not get hurt doing rear foot elevated split squats. And I've seen more athletes get hurt. And I've seen more instances of people getting hurt doing back squats. And we're just saying back squats. We're not even saying front squats. We're not saying walking lunges. We're talking about, like, and again, that's why it's a stupid conversation. Because what I'm trying to say is unilateral is better than bilateral in terms of working on the squat pattern.
And unless you say might be, then you're wrong.
Your face. All right, stick around. We'll be right back. I'm going to go put a one-star review on John's iTunes shit. Okay, we're back. We're going to get into another topic, but I want to welcome the PTAdvantage.com as the new sponsor of the FitCast. And it's, you know, again, I've kind of talked in the past about how we've been like super, super selective on sponsorship and stuff like that. And after checking out the PTAdvantage.com, it is super, super cool. I just want to quickly mention, you know, some reading a little bit about it. The PT Advantage is an interactive website that allows trainers to create exercise programs online and communicate with clients. The PT Advantage allows clients to access their personalized training programs through the web or from their mobile phone. It's a new way of training online. And they also have some more information, again, at theptadvantage.com. And more or less what it is it's like the really an awesome system for trainers and coaches to work with their clients to focus on accountability and adherence to program. And even more so if you have like a, you know, online clients, like distance clients and things like that, it's even cooler. And I think you guys, you can check it out. You can get like a you know, really nice intro subscription to the PTAdvantage.com, and you can check out a demo on their website and the packages that they offer. And it, again, it's something that I really think is worth checking out for everyone. You know, a lot of people that listen to the show are also, you know, in the industry, and I think you're going to be kind of wanting to check this out, or you're going to be left behind a little bit, because this is kind of where a lot of the you know, the extra revenue in the industry is coming from, because you can only see so many people at your facility. But now, again, just want to give a little quick introduction to those guys. Again, the PTAdvantage.com. We're going to be talking about them for the next couple weeks. It's not going to be super long. I just want to, you know, quickly mention them for you guys to check them out. And we'll be talking a little bit more about them down the road. So, again, with all this sponsorship stuff, I want to try to keep it a little bit organic, not like brought to you by and all that stuff, because like, again, with, you know, being very selective about who we have on here as sponsors and things like that, you know, I went through the whole program, checked out all their stuff, and got a nice tour from Peter at the PT Advantage, and super impressed. I think that what they're doing is really, really cool. So give it a look. But John, we're gonna get into one more subject.
Let's do it, baby.
What you want to hit on? We got a lot of cool stuff on the Facebook. We can go into you know, some cool ways to set up programming, or go into taxation of the obese. I think is an interesting subject, but it's hard.
Yeah, I want Leon. I want Leon. Oh,
exactly,
that one.
Exactly. And you know what? I think it's Paul is how you pronounce it. Managing long distance clients, what I just said, the PTAdvantage.com. Give it a look. It is a, no, I'm dead serious. It's a super cool way to do all that stuff. So, and same thing, we actually got a couple questions about clients' adherence to program and online. That's my spiel for the week. But how about, in terms of programming and working with, groups of 6 to 8. This is a question that we got from Michael. Again, obviously that's kind of the bread and butter of what we do at Boyles, but it's more like groups of 12 or more. So I think the big...
Actually, that's true. When I at Rutgers, that's exactly what I was having, like 12, 15 at a time.
Perfect. Well, I mean, I think the big thing that it that is the first thing that you get to look at when it comes to programming is the population that you're dealing with, whether it's going to be those clients or athletes or that population or whatever, what they're going to be expecting from that program and going from there. So you have to have a general, need some bullet points to go off of before you start writing things. John, you okay over there?
Yeah, allergies, no, desert. Yeah, my bad. Whatever. I'll be muting.
Cool.
I don't even realize I'm doing it.
No, I know. As long as you don't have that like whistle, I think the first thing that you got to kind of look at is the time that you have for that group, the group's goals, and the current condition of that group. And when it comes to that, the big thing that we look at MBSC is making sure that we're starting our athletes and our clients with the most regressed version of each exercise. When you're kind of looking at the movement patterns of horizontal pull, horizontal push, vertical pull, vertical push, and you have your obviously hip dominant, knee dominant exercises and your core work, making sure that you're starting those groups in that programming, even if they're really proficient, starting them with the regressions. And if they are very proficient at it, then you can kind of get them to the more progressed version of the exercise, or just load that regression up until the whole group moves to that progression for that exercise. So maybe you'll have like a great thing we were just talking about is the single leg stuff or the unilateral stuff that John's a huge fan of, and he ended up saying off the air that he totally agreed with me and that he was wrong. But but
I didn't make any statement about that.
I'm just kidding. You might start with like a split squat hold and go to a bodyweight split squat, and then you might go to depending on how you want to set up the progressions, you could go to like a reverse lunge, or then to a walking lunge, then a rear foot elevated split squat, then to a single legged squat. There's a lot of different ways that you can set that up, but just make sure that you are always kind of keeping in mind that it's not going to be a negative thing to use a regressed version of an exercise, because that might just be the right amount of load for that person. So always keep that in mind. Don't be afraid to start with that. And also make sure it's balanced. Like, you don't want to, with a lot of these groups, unless you're going to be seeing someone like 4 times a week, the full body setup is great. Obviously, we can give those athletes and clients plenty of time to recover, give them that 48-hour window before their next session. And for the most part, unless they're a new athlete or a new client, they're going to be able to recover and not have that, coming in the next day so sore where they're like walking practically like someone put a stick up their butt. So I think a lot of that stuff needs to come into consideration. John, what do you think? I mean, obviously, right this second, that's not your mainstay, but you did a ton of stuff at Rutgers with the athletes.
Yeah, I did a ton of stuff there, and it's interesting. I did it a little bit differently. It was kind of the same. Like, I had a goal. This is where I want them what I want them doing. This is the kind of the program that they're going to have. But what I would typically do is basically split the group more or less with beginners and then my advanced ones, the guys that were coming back to me year after year or whatever it was. So the beginners, I'd get them up to speed while the advanced would work on the more advanced techniques that they were doing. So if it was like, a clean session, then my guys that were comfortable with that, I could keep an eye on them and have them in rotating groups of 3, and they'd do supersets with like a third like mobility drill or something in between that. So 2 would be going in an exercise,
AKA your active recovery, just for people who want to have that like correlation if they've heard that before.
And then for my beginners, I'd have them on the other platforms practicing the basics of it, you know, maybe just the unloaded bar, maybe practicing their deadlift form, whatever it was that they needed to work on. I try to set the groups up based roughly on height or strength so that, you know, there wasn't too much, you know, taking weights on and off, you know, trying to make it nice and speedy in movement so everyone could run through what they needed to do. But the goal was always to get the beginners up to speed as quickly as I could. And it didn't mean that they were lifting the same weights, obviously, but at least that they would be able to then step on the platforms and do a complete clean or a squat or whatever it was that we were doing that day. But probably, I mean, I guess other than that, it's probably very similar, at least in methodology and thought process of like, you know, this is what I want accomplished by the end of the season and I need to break it, you know, I need to work backwards from there so that everyone is at that point by the end of the season.
No, you made a great point. And the cool thing about a lot of this stuff is it's going to be somewhat different from population to population, but the blueprint's really going to stay pretty close to the same. It's just going to be the exercises that you plug in are going to be a little bit different. And then, you know, clearly you're not going to be doing lots of, you know, change of direction and conditioning like shuttle stuff and plyometrics and agility stuff with that adult population. Again, unless that's kind of what they're looking for in the program and they're able to do it. So I think that's a great jumping off point. I think that same thing with anyone who, you know, wants to start putting together their own programs, just kind of, I know a lot of people talk about like not doing this, but throw some shit up against the wall and see what you like. Because if you're really young and you want to just kind of like get into this stuff, are you thinking about getting into this, you know, strength and conditioning or the fitness industry in general? I mean, you got to kind of just do it and see what you find works well. Because again, like it's like that huge debate we just had before. I think some of, you know, your, some of the things that you are wondering, you know, maybe is it right? Is it wrong? Just try it yourself.
Just do it.
Yeah, do it. Yeah. I mean, what's the worst thing that's going to happen is you mess up your back because you shouldn't be back squatting. Why are people? All right. I think that's where.
Yeah. And I was just going to add to that, like, I was just going to add that I freaking loved small group training. You know, when I had, you know, 12, 15, 18 people in the gym at once, I loved it. I never stopped moving. I'm running back and forth, looking at everything going on.
Dude,
it's exciting.
To be honest, like we don't, I don't, I probably, I don't make much money coaching, but I still make sure I get those hours in during the week because it is unbelievably beneficial to get that experience. And is like, I have this group of like, you know, again, like 12, 13, 14 year olds, and they are just like pains in the asses. But when they like, they get stronger and they come up to you and like give you a high five because they just hit like a PR on something, like even if it's like 95 pounds in the trap bar deadlift, like that's awesome. Like that is like why we do this. Whether it's athletes or it's your personal training client who just, you know, hit 170 pounds for the first time in 30 years. Like it's all that stuff that, is why we do. Why we do the deed, why we do what we do. All right, I have to run. So that's going to be it for this week's episode. I copied over, there's no off-topic discussion because I copied over it. So the reference that I made before about an actor is not going to be applicable. I will say, don't forget to check us out on iTunes. We are like almost back in a weekly format. I have lined up, I think I mentioned it earlier in the show, but I have lined up some guests leading up to our 250 episode. And if you have some people from like the past on the show that you want to get back on, I got some names in my head for great people that I loved interviewing in the past. And this is mostly selfish because I'm kind of picking my favorites. But if you want to throw in some input,
you're the producer, man. You get to do that.
No, I pay the bills. I pay the bandwidth bills. So
right, man.
We could just like I literally could just make fart noises in the microphone for an hour and a half, and
that would be awesome, and it'd probably get some more 5-star ratings.
Yeah, dude, those fart noises sounded so real. Oh wait, they were. So, all right. So that's going to be it. Don't forget, like I said, don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Hit John and I up on Facebook. You can follow me at twitter.com/KevinLarrabee. I'm getting close to that 3,000 mark for it's followers. Amazing. And
we went from like a heated exchange about evidence-based practice to farts on a microphone.
That's
in the same episode, man.
That's the Fitcast, and that's why I would not do this show anymore if it wasn't fun. If it was just me arguing with John about how he's wrong and how he's a nerd, that'd be one thing. But
oh, you liked your own statement on Facebook, you dick. That's funny.
Because I'm right. I never say anything unless I'm right, especially if it's going out to 6,500 people tomorrow morning. Right. So thanks for listening, guys. You are the best. Thank you so much. As we get towards this 250th episode, we would not do this if you guys didn't download. And you know what? Don't forget to have your pets spayed or neutered. We'll see you next week. Da 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 da